Well, hello there. This is Jim, the Keys Bartender with the Keys Bartender podcast. It is a beautiful day. If you're not familiar with the Keys Bartender podcast, it's a podcast about bartending and life and Keys life. So I am really, really enjoying the position I have. I did explain that the characteristics of the job, the people I work with. Sometimes I get stressed because of new POS system, learning a new system. But I always feel as if when I'm learning something new, I'm pushing the envelope. It changes that ennui we get, boredom that sets in when you do something repetitive. So I'm really liking that. There's some things I thought I never wanted to do, like a long commute. And it's not that far. It's only 20 miles, but with it being the busy season, sometimes you have to leave like an hour and 10 minutes before in order to get to work. But the scenery, I love driving down here because it's pretty much going a straight road. As long as you're not too aggressive, switching lanes a lot, there's not a lot of, it's not a stressful engagement when you're traveling here. So to get into the bartending thing, I am not going to be talking necessarily about techniques today or bartending issues, but just a characteristic of the job, which is when you're applying for a job, bartending, though it's not unique just to bartenders, you get your validation because of a visibility of the job, the visibility of the position. A lot of people get to know who you are. They see how you are in action. There's not a lot of jobs like that. If you were a dentist, the only people that really get to see you are people that go to see you as a dentist. But you don't have people watching you be a dentist. So here you're being evaluated. They know, especially in this community down here, the people in the business can get easy access if you've been in just like any mid-sized or small town, can get access to people say, yeah, I've seen them at work, I've seen them doing this, I've seen her working, and they're pretty good at their job. I worked with them. You get recommendations, they know the places firsthand. So in October, when I left the job I was at for a long time and I just needed a change, I was desperate for a change. It wasn't that I hated the job. I hated the way I was while I was in the job. So I needed something different. And while you're applying, when you are applying for jobs, it is a lesson in humility. You're marketing yourself. And it's much like looking for a mate. It's validation for who you are as a person. It's validation for my skills as a bartender, as a worker. I'm an older bartender too. I'm 60. I'm 60 years old. I may not, I sound a little cocky. I know I'm a cocky person. I think you have to be a little cocky to be a bartender, to put yourself out in front of people. So I always say, well, I mean, I tell people how old I am because a lot of times they, and this is the cocky part, if you don't know. Yeah, a lot of people think I'm in my mid-40s. And I don't know if they think it's, my immature attitude or my the way I, my fitness level. My face is starting to feel it. Here I am, I'm really tearing myself down. I look pretty fucking good. I should just say that. I look pretty fucking awesome. You should always say that to yourself. Look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm looking at a mirror right now. I look pretty good for my age. Pretty awesome. So back in October and November, I started applying. I took 2 weeks off and then I started applying. And then I haven't didn't see anything. I took a couple part-time jobs so I could do something, little catering, little ride share, just to keep me busy. And then I started looking. I didn't think I'd get a bite right away, but I know in December that restaurants would start thinking about amping up for season because it's not much longer after that and they need to get their people trained and ready to go. And I started looking for a month and a half, and I wasn't getting any bites. I wasn't getting any callbacks. That is hard on your ego. It really is. I'm acting like I'm shocked. I knew that. But in all actuality, it's when you're experiencing it, when you really feel it. We don't get any callbacks. You send out, you know, I got this tons of experience. I got great recommendations from all the places I worked. None of them, nothing negative at all. I passed the drug test. That was it. That was fine. So, but the longer you don't get a call back, it's like on a dating. If you don't, you keep on meeting people and they never call you back, you start reflecting back on yourself. Well, there must be something wrong with me. That's your first instinct. There's got to be something wrong with me. You don't think, oh, well, they're not ready. They're just started the process. And restaurants have their own process on how to hire. Some take months. So what really instigated, yesterday I got a phone message from one of the places. There were two or three places I really wanted to work at. And as it turned out, two of the places I got hired. And the third one, I never got a call back. And I kept on contacting them and they never heard. And yesterday I got a call back from them. They were looking, we have your resume. We'd like to hire you. And in this, once I got my job, now I ended up getting a job at a place at an interview and they offered me the job the next day. And I didn't even know they were looking for it. I didn't realize I'd enjoy it as much. I didn't realize it fit all the boxes for the things I wanted. I wanted a flexible schedule. So if you want a flexible schedule, you have to be flexible with your schedule. There was only two times that I'm really not available. And that was Monday morning from 9 to 10 and Friday morning, 9 to 10. That doesn't mean I can't work in the afternoons on Monday and Friday. It just means I would show up a little late for the starting shifts. So after that, I'm done. Now, sometimes when you offer people, when you take a job at an establishment, they'll give you all the shifts that are the least desirable. Sometimes it could be a bunch of closing shifts on slow nights, and then you get locked in. But as it turns out, the place I work is pretty busy and there's people taking off back and forth. And I really enjoyed not having a particular schedule. And I don't want to feel as if I have to work every night. So because daytime shifts are usually less, but the way they figure out tips, it's the amount of hours you work and they put all the tips in as a whole day and you put in your hours. Now, for some of these bartenders out here, they may look at it and say, well, what if I'm working harder and they're not working as hard? Well, if you're moving around different days of the week, working afternoon and evening, it works out. It all, equals out. Some shifts will be busy, some not so busy. Some have more work, some have less. There's different closing tasks at night and opening task and changeover task in the middle of the day. So for me, I really enjoy that because I don't have any requirements. And it turns out they hire a lot of people that have other full-time jobs and they're available evenings and weekends to work. And they need people at the beginning of the week and on the weekdays. So they give me, they fill me up on a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, which is great. You got to have people like that. I'm really, really enjoying it. But as time goes on, I'm still getting callbacks from some of the jobs from people that were accepting resumes. And I got a call back. And my first instinct would be to call back and say, hey, listen. And I did call them back, but I called them back to inform them I had already taken a position. I said to them, I applied for that position 2.5 months ago. And they go, yeah, we took a while to pull the trigger. I said, I just wanted you to let you know because you were one of the places I wanted to work at because I enjoyed it. Enjoyed their location. I liked the way it looked. I liked the way the people were. And but I just realized the place that I got the job right now was probably most suitable for me, and I wouldn't really jeopardize my standing and my availability by taking a job that they said they wanted me for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which are nights, which are premium nights, not just for working, but if you want to spend time with your significant other. So I said, oh boy, if I had taken that one, I would have ended up doing the same thing I did before, having to work Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And all the nights, what's my wife to do when she goes out by herself all the time, or I have to take off in order to do that? This particular weekend, I have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off, so I can spend it with my wife because I worked the five, six previous days. So I'm not bitching about it. I'm just saying the most important thing is to apply for jobs when you're looking, before you know you need another job, when you apply for many jobs as possible, look for what fits your schedule. If you have to take a job, if you get one offer, you got to take that job, right? If you got to work. But if you have multiple jobs, you got to look for the multiple job offers, which I was fortunate enough to have. I had four job offers, and ended up taking the one that responded. I started at two of them. One, I didn't even make it out of training phase because they're after the fact, they told me their scheduling was conflicting with mine. Our pre-agreed upon schedule. And they told me they wanted me to do other things too that I wasn't really looking to do. I mean, it was just working on the floor as a server. I have nothing against being a server. It's just not my thing. I like being a bartender. The one of the things of being a server, I don't like trying to move between tables. I'm a bigger guy. I'm over, 6'3", 230 pounds. I don't like moving between the tables. And it's really uncomfortable with people when they bump into it. I'm moving fast and I hit them. Usually, if it's an older person, there could be some consequences and repercussions, as said by one of my friends. There'd be consequences and repercussions if I bump into an older customer and lay him out by accident. But what I really enjoy is the validation part of being called back and being told, yes, we saw your resume. We remember the interview. We'd really like to work with you. And a lot of times, your expectations for a job or what you want for a job isn't really what you want. I didn't realize that a brewery slash distillery would be the perfect job for me. And this story is perfect because the volume, the amount of tourists, the flexibility schedule, and the driving all the way down the Alamorada. I thought I'd be looking for places where I live. I live in Key Largo, and there's plenty of places in Key Largo. But it's not exactly what I was looking for. The places that are available in Key Largo or some of the bars that they probably need me on that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, where they don't have the multiple schedules, where you have the people that are driving down to Key West stopping in for an hour. That's where it's at the Alamorada. The other places up in the Upper Keys here in Key Largo, you get people that go out for the night. So it's more likely the busiest times where you make the most money would be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So you're pretty much locked into working those nights. And that works out perfect for people that work in other jobs, that they're working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday and say, well, I got to be in work at 5 o'clock on Friday. And then I work the weekend. So here I am, accidentally tripping into a job that has the right schedule for me. And all I have to do is not fuck it up by not being a grumpy person. And I'm going to be talking about that in the second half. Thank you very much. I'll be right back. Well, I was talking on the previous episode or previous portion of this episode about validation as a worker just through the application process for another job. And it's nice. It's nice to be validated. Because no matter what you say, you should be validating yourself every day. You should be looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? I'm great. I'm good enough. Just like Stuart Smalley. The ex-senator, Al Franken, from Minnesota, and the ex-U.S. senator, was a writer and performer on Saturday Night Live back in the 70s and the 80s. And he used to do a bit in the 80s called Stuart Smalley. Affirmations, self-affirmations by Stuart Smalley, and be standing, sitting in front of a mirror, weird character, and just look at himself and says, I'm good enough, and I'm smart enough, and by golly, I like myself. No matter how funny, well, the way he was dressed, it was funny. And I know this is why I don't get a lot of millennials or X, Y, and Z, Generation X, Y, and Z, which I have a bone to pick with people like that. How come they started with Generation X? If you're going to start on letters, why would you start at the fucking last part of the alphabet? Where do you go from there? We're at Gen Z, right? You had boomers. Now, if you had to go and change from boomers to millennials, or I don't know if what's in between boomers and millennials, but why would you go Generation X, Y, and Z? Why not start at A? That's so unwise. I almost said something mean. It's stupid. Why did it catch on? Generation A, Generation B. Just like hurricanes. Hurricanes, they started in the beginning of the alphabet, at the beginning of the season. And then when they have too many storms, they got to go with Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. You know, the Greek alpha, or what, not even Greek. That's a Greek alphabet, and there's call signs. Okay. Yeah, I don't get that. Why they were doing, now they're going to have to do Generation 1, 2, and 3. You can't go to the end of the numbers because there's no end to the numbers. Do you know that? There's no end to the numbers. There is no end to numbers. You could say set from 1 to 10, but there's really 10 is not the last number. No one has said the highest number yet. You like that? And this is my stream of consciousness part of the show. Between 0 and 1, there is an infinite amount of numbers between 0 and 1. Infinite. If you can't get all the numbers between 0 and 1, how could you get every number out? You can't. There's no end to numbers. People say, you don't know. You don't know if there's no end to numbers. Well, I can tell you. You can always do plus one. Whatever number out there. Infinity plus one. Right? Plus two, plus infinity, plus infinity. Infinity squared, infinity cubed. And then you go on infinite. Infinity to the infinity power. It's just, there's no ending to numbers. So to get back to validation, a lot of times you'll just sit there and people need to be validated. Some people need to be told how great they look. When your significant other is getting dressed and ready to go out, how do I look? How do I look? You know, sometimes they're looking for validation. Sometimes they're looking, like for me, a lot of times I'm looking for my wife to say, hey, listen, that's the wrong color matchup. You're wearing blue and brown. That doesn't work for you. or pink and purple. Not that I have pink and purple. I don't dress like that. It's like, I'm not a psycho. I'm not wearing like a pink bandana with a purple scarf. I'm not just picking those colors. I'm just talking colors that I don't think that they could go together. But sometimes I need to be told. Sometimes I need to be told about. I'm pretty good about dressing myself, though. You don't get to 60 years old and not. There's some things I miss. But I get plenty of validation, on which it'd be nice not to have a little validation. But when you do get validation from outside yourself, it is refreshing. It is refreshing. No matter how well practiced you are at telling yourself you're enough, which you are. You are enough. You don't need anybody else to tell you, but you know, every so often it's nice for someone else to tell you that. If you need it all the time, if you need that validation all the time, then that becomes an issue. But sometimes that boost, it's like a cup of coffee in the morning, the caffeine, just to get you started. So you could just drag your ass along thinking you're just making it. Or other times you got people telling you, you're really banging it out there. You're doing great. And that's what getting callbacks are like. Same as in any job. So I mentioned on the previous segment that as a bartender, being out in the front and all that, it's almost like acting. When you get callbacks and you get callbacks to try out for something, to read for a part, and to be, you know, it's an honor to be considered. You heard that one. It's an honor to be nominated. And I view almost any job similarly. I mean, I don't think bartenders, baseball players, doctors, ballerinas, I don't think any of them really have super dissimilar needs at validation. They have a desire because it's not just enough to know that you're good enough and, you know, a great worker and a great performer, a great athlete. It's not great enough, but the other people to view that. And that's where your value gets raised. And that's where you see if there's a football player, let's say a quarterback, and someone decides and say, this quarterback is so good, their perceived value is $75 million a year. That's our perceived value. Now, in all actuality, let me say this. There's no one that's worth $75 million a year intrinsically, but actuarially, money-wise, they could be. Because they could bring enough revenue in to turn a profit when you pay $75 million for it. It's just like a painting. I'm looking at a painting here. It's a beautiful painting. What's a painting worth? There's an intrinsic value to a painting. I've seen some beautiful paintings, and it can be like $200, $250. Original paintings. And then there's other paintings I'm looking at and say, well, I didn't really find it pleasing. Well, that one sold recently for $5 million. You go, someone valued that painting at $5 million. Does that painting please me as much as the one that sells for $250? Nope. So I appraised the one at $250. That $3 million doesn't really mean anything, or $5 million doesn't mean anything to me. Just like gold, platinum, diamonds, rubies, they're intrinsic values. Those values aren't actual values because it's an agreed upon value. Gold is agreed upon value. Now, it's similar to corn, gold and corn. If you have a bushel of corn, there's a value of a group of what people are willing to pay on the market for a bushel of corn. The same thing for gold, an ounce of gold. There's a value they agreed upon what they pay for gold. Is it you really don't do anything with gold other than coat. It's for jewelry and electronics. They're good conductors. Gold is a good conductor, and it's malleable. And corn is foodstuff, not actually a great foodstuff if you think about it. It's, you know, there's corn syrup and all that stuff. It's not the healthiest foodstuff, but you could do a lot with it. So there is a value for that too, for when you can't gold won't nourish you, but gold will allow you to buy nourishment. So that's the way you should value yourself. There's an actual value to yourself, the amount of work you put out, the amount of energy you are able to do things. But then there's an intrinsic value. The intrinsic, the more intangible qualities of yourself, whether you're supportive of your coworkers, your partners, your friends, how helpful you are to other people, just strangers, your general attitude, and your knowledge, and your skills. They're all intangible qualities that are hard to really sum up and show your value. As a person, you should think about everything you know and everything you can do. And there is a dollar value for that. Now, it may be difficult just because people can't put a dollar value on it doesn't mean it's just because you can't throw a football 70 yards in a dead run across your body. I don't think anybody can throw it across their body 70 yards. But let's say Patrick Mahomes, who could do that on a dead run, running away from the defenders, if you know a little about football. There's a value to that in the game. And you can do things not exactly like that, but kind of like that. Think about all the things you can do easily that other people find difficult to do. And that's how you should apprise yourself. Appraise yourself, I think. I think a prize and a praise. And that's self-esteem. Self-esteem is not necessarily cockiness or superiority complex. It's a correct estimation of your abilities. A correct estimation of your abilities. And it's not a downgrading of it. It's a buildup. And everyone should do that. And I believe everyone should be helpful in helping other people appraise themselves and not be defensive when someone does something better than you. The place I work, there's a young fellow, same name, Jim. He goes by Jimmy. He's a mixologist. Jimmy is a mixologist. He does a lot of flourish, does the cup flip. I do not compete with him because he does what he does very well, and I do what I do very well. I work with people. I don't tell them what they want. I ask them what they like. I'm not saying Jimmy does that, but Jimmy will say, he's so confident. And I think that's a skill too, that you'll like what he'll ask him, like, do you have any problem with egg? And he'll make something with an egg white in it. Yes, there's drinks that use egg white to make cocktails. And the cocktail, he's a cocktail bartender. I am a bartender. I can do a lot of cocktails, but I'm not like he is. But I'm skilled at repartee, wit. I'm good at finding what people like. I have a vast knowledge of different cocktails, some going back and some more recent. So I don't appraise myself the same way I'm with someone else. If I see another guy and he's bigger than me and he's stronger than me, that's just what it is. But I'm skilled too, and I'm big and strong and can bartend. So it's not all competition. To prize yourself, you come in with a complete package, and you don't, the person that is very skilled at some of the things you do is not as skilled in all the things you do well, and vice versa. So to and it may seem as their skills on the surface and they're very good. They're a beautiful, beautiful person, and they're skilled at their job and they're skilled at relationships. There's things you don't know about them. You don't know how they are alone. You don't know how their state of mental fitness is. But you don't have to, and you shouldn't have to compare yourself. You should just think about appraising yourself, think about what you're strong at, and think about the things you'd like to do better without beating yourself down for not being able to do them better. It's a fancy dance to do. But in the end, when we feel better about ourselves, we do an accurate estimation of who we are, then we're able to go out in the world and be that person. Good, bad, or indifferent, mainly good. Mainly good. And you're able to accept other people. If you can rejoice in other people's successes, that's even better. But rejoice in your own too. And be ready to meet the day that way. This is Jim the Keys Bartender signing off. Have a great day. And I'll be back again. I'll probably be back again tomorrow. Let me see if I can find my time to get off here. Yep. One more time. Have a great day. Bye.